I'll jump to large cell lymphomas. Okay. So in aggressive lymphomas, then some of the more frequent questions is, what's the best induction regimen? I mean, this is the same story we've been hearing with every lymphoma. And here, there's been no doubt that rituximab plus CHOP has changed the way we look at this disease. For the first time in 30-plus years, we're seeing a survival advantage associated with the simple addition of rituximab to CHOP chemotherapy. And that was updated at this meeting by Dr. Coffier, who again showed the 7-year data, which confirms essentially the benefits of rituximab in all the risk groups.
What do the numbers look like?
There is an absolute between 15 and 20% difference in survival in the R-CHOP versus CHOP groups that's now out at 7 years. And so the curves stayed apart. I mean, many of us worried that the benefits of rituximab added to CHOP would be a transient thing and the curves would come back together, but it's clearly been sustained. So the question now is that still the best regimen? So the German and the French groups came up with the idea of giving CHOP on a more accelerated schedule. So the CHOP 14, so-called CHOP. Dose-dense CHOP, all of the, I guess, breast cancer data. And in this setting, they showed that if you did not have rituximab added to it, at least in elderly population, that dose-dense Q2-week was better than Q3-week CHOP. And they also had another study that showed that one of the other questions really is, should you give 6 cycles or 8 cycles? Most of the original studies used 8, and now the real question is, do you really need 8? Because in practice, a lot of people don't give 8. They only give CR plus 2 or 6. So the German group did, again, a very nice study looking at Q2-week CHOP and said you need to give it 6 or 8 cycles and compared that to Q3. And the bottom line was that Q2 was better than Q3 and 8 was better than 6 until you added rituximab into the system. And if you added rituximab into the system, then it was called the great equalizer, essentially.
I was thinking that exact term.
Yeah. So that's
trying to remember that was rituximab.
Yeah,
or not.
It was. And the other thing they had thrown in there was etoposide or
CHOP. Just wrote that down right here.
Yeah, the CHOP regimen. And so, again, the gist of all those studies was that if you didn't have rituximab in the system, that giving more therapy and giving more drugs did seem to have a benefit. But when you added rituximab in there, they all came out the same. And so now the real question is, then there was a RECOVER study, I think was the next one, which then said, is it better to give rituximab plus Q2-week CHOP versus Q2-week CHOP? And there, rituximab again had a benefit, at least in progression-free survival. I don't think there's been a survival advantage yet. So now people are trying to decide whether R-CHOP on a 2-week schedule is better than R-CHOP on a 3-week schedule. And that's one of the biggest unanswered questions right now in aggressive lymphoma. And there's a randomized study now being done, I think, by the French group. But I always am asked that. And my personal opinion is that I think there's no data yet to say that you have to give it on a Q2-week schedule and that R-CHOP on a 3-week schedule is still the standard of care.
You know, it's been kind of surprising in breast cancer. People thought dose-dense was going to be harder on patients, and yet most people found that it was easier. They got through it. It wasn't quicker. It probably wasn't even more toxic. Fatigue didn't seem to be that much different. What's your perspective in terms of R-CHOP 14?
I haven't used it a lot, but when I have used it, it's been remarkably easy. It's essentially given with Neulasta support, and you know, people are ready to go on to their next cycle, for the most case, within 14 days.
So do you think that it's reasonable to use it in a non-protocol setting right now?
I think there's no reason not to use it on a Q2-week schedule if you want to do that. Again, it was actually studied in elderly patients, you know, patients over the age of 60, and you would think that that would be a population that would have the most trouble with it, but yet they claim that it's easy in that setting. So that's one of the top questions.